Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 549. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today is Matthew Ford.
Hello, sir.
And we are rolling into this bank holiday weekend with storm clouds in the air and we're furious.
I'm so ready for it, James.
3 days off in a row and it's going to spend the whole time raining on us.
I know. Good old Britain.
How are we going to sit outside at 8 p.m. in the freezing cold in a garden with masks on if it's also raining? The world does not want us to set foot outside. It is an omen.
One run of golf. That's all I want.
I see the big golf, open green lands. And because of the fact that Pokemon Snap has come out today and I've just done some reviews in my head, I see a little Squirtle popping up out of the hole, looking around and me scrambling for my digital camera. Yeah, the hole. You put it into a hole, don't you?
Okay, well, not squirrels. I mean, they're water. They'd be in the river.
The pitch is waterlogged, Matt, is what I'm saying. The golf pitch. I don't know about sport. So, we are back. We're going to talk about... Actually, we've got quite a lot of news to talk about. We can rattle through information about PlayStation 5 and Xbox controller support on your mobile devices. We can talk about the Apex Legends soft launch, the first images and video that have been released and what it looks like. We've got info about the upcoming Witcher Monster Slayer AR game and new releases, including the likes of the aforementioned Pokemon Snap, bit of Pew Pew Live, Summoner's War, Lost Centuria, Under Depths of Fear, Before I Forget, and more. But first, the news. Xbox Game Pass just rolled out its beta for the browser-based version of its system. I know this because I got invited to the beta and gave it a quick bash during the week just to see what it looks like. This, to be clear, is the version that allows you to play on Edge or Safari or something like that, which means that you can now stream your Xbox games to your PC instead of having to install them, but also to your iPhone.
Yes.
This is their way of getting around the fact that Apple don't want an app for Xbox Game Pass in the App Store. So they've gone, all right then, how about we let people open it up in Safari? Is that all right?
The lengths Apple will go to, yes.
Yeah. And they've gone like, right, I guess we can't stop you. But it does seem like this announcement about the controllers seems to dovetail into it, which is that an iOS update has allowed native access for both the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox controllers. And previously, you had to sort of do little hacks to get some of them working, which was a bit of a pain. Obviously, third-party controllers have been supported for ages, but again, Apple had been a bit hostile to letting the Microsoft and the Sony toys play with their screens. Have you ever tried to sync stuff up? Do you actually use any MFI additional controllers for touchscreens? Have you ever gone that route, or do you just stay touchy-touchy?
So I've got a Razer Kishi support controller, which works great. I haven't done it with the PlayStation DualShock or the Microsoft controller yet. I've been playing about with the PC recently, actually, and hooking that up, and that's how I've just done a review on PC, funny enough, with the DualShock and everything like that, which is cool.
Okay.
This was buried in, you know, the update for 14.5.
Yeah, I don't know how much influenced it was by the fact that, you know, the Xbox Game Pass is becoming a little bit more widely used, and certainly these streaming options are handy, and people do want to connect this stuff. And maybe they don't want to make a song and dance about the fact that, like, yeah, God, Sony, Microsoft, we're best of pals. Because they're not really best of pals. But they've kind of got to make the concession because I think people want it. And it just makes so much more sense. I don't have to go out and buy yet another controller when I've got several in the other room with Bluetooth capability. Just let me pair it. It's fine. I do it with the Android device. It's nice and easy. So they've thrown it in there as well.
Yeah, it's more about bringing them walls down again, isn't it?
And you're going to need it as well because of all the console games that come and exist on mobile devices now, including Apex Legends. So we've already covered the fact that Apex Legends exists, that it appeared on Switch to not superb reception.
Yeah, to say the least. It was pretty unplayable.
Well, you thought you'd seen Yank before. Welcome to Apex Legends Mobile. So the soft launch is happening at the moment in a couple of territories, India and the Philippines, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you went digging around, and not only did you find the images over on PG Biz, we've also got a bit of footage that someone's uploaded of the game running on a mobile device. And, well, I kept waiting for the textures to pop in, Matt, but the textures... they did not pop in.
No, they did not. No, the word that comes to mind for me is chop. A lot of choppy frame rates as it struggles to keep up with the supposed 30 frames per second.
Now, recording off a mobile device can be a bit Yankee, especially if you're using like an Android device and you're just using the internal recorder. I know this because I've had to contend with it my entire video making career. So I'll give their frame rate a slight pass because, yes, it does look a bit rough, but, you know, it could be a number of reasons. The actual look of the game, I mean, this is beta. This is beta. Yes. We've got to reinforce this stuff so it's not finished.
It's testing at the end of the day. Yeah.
100%.
That's what it's for.
Very, very beta is what I'll say. Everything is set to like graphics level. Like, is there a setting below low? I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it's on that. But early stages, and this is the risk, and this is often why they want to keep betas, or like, for example, like a closed beta rather than open. They want to keep the information under wraps because you can end up seeing a game in an unfinished state and it colors your response to it. So it's not necessarily indicative of what it will look like when it's finished. The reason I think I raised slightly more of an eyebrow or went, oh dear, is precisely because of the Switch version being released in a state that a lot of people found to be subpar.
The difference with this one is, I know they took a bit more time with the Switch on and everything, but with the mobile, they've said, you know, they're designing many elements of it specifically for mobile. So the UI, if you look at it in the gameplay footage, like, that's completely brand new. That's for mobile. You know, the way you've got your slide actions, your jump, your shoot, you know, everything like that, that's completely designed for mobile. I do think it's a game what you need a controller for, which thankfully, you know, these updates help, but
they're not going to use a controller. 99% of the people playing it will not be using a controller. This is, has to work in the same way that Fortnite works or used to work on mobile, the same way that PUBG works on mobile. This has to just work natively because that's how everyone, bar a few hardcore folks, will be playing it. And it can, like, we've seen all those games, those ones I just mentioned, thrive on mobile. There's no reason it can't be done. And maybe it plays great. It's just the look. This is built for the ground up then. This isn't like a port of Apex Legends, or is it?
It's in between, like, the elements of it they have designed specifically for mobile. It's the same Apex Legends game that's on console.
Like, is it going to be cross-platform, for example?
No, it's not going to be cross-platform.
It has to be parity.
They've said it's not cross-platform, yeah.
Okay, they can do their own thing then in that case. It can be a bit different. And like I say, it may be great, but if you want to see just what we're talking about, head over to the article over there on PokeGamerBiz. We'll let the pictures and the videos do the talking.
Will do.
We'll mention The Witcher Monster Slayer. That's been out on soft launch, you said, on iOS for a while, isn't it?
August 2020.
There you go. So they've been testing it over there. Now, if you want to get involved on Android, you can get stuck in and pre-register. It's going to be coming out soon. I don't think there's a date, but the first inkling of it just popped up. And it reminded me, A, that this game exists, this Witcher Monster Slayer AR thing, where you go wandering around capturing beasties, Witcher style.
Set before the time of Geralt of Rivia.
It's Geralt, isn't it?
Geralt, yeah.
Isn't that what Cavill says?
Oh, God. Are people going to hate me for that? I haven't played a Witcher game, for the record.
Oh, okay. That's fine. It's all right.
Cut that out.
Never. But it made me think of, like, oh, yeah, AR games are still going. Who actually plays them? And because I've been covering them a little bit, and I did a hands-on with a quite ambitious one a couple of weeks ago. And it made me think of that Wizards Unite is the Harry Potter one.
Yep, the one from Niantic.
Yeah. I was like, how's that faring? And lo, Matthew Ford's written an article about it not a day ago. And turns out that the Harry Potter stuff, one franchise is doing very well, a couple of them doing quite well, and Wizards Unite is kind of the runt of the litter, isn't it?
Floundering, I'd say. It's dead. Like, at the end of the day, now we look at it is. It's we were talking about it. We think it's just contracts. There'll be a contract. They're saying, oh, it's got to be live for so long before, you know, they can shut it down. Because it struggled from day one, to be honest. Further Harry Potter games have released, the one from Zynga most recently, The Puzzles and Spells, which is a match 3 title. And that already overtook Wizards Unite in 4 months for both revenue and downloads.
Which is nuts, because Wizards Unite's been out for ages at this point.
I remember
the ad campaign.
Yeah.
It was a real big push, and it was going to be the first properly massive franchise to jump on the AR wagon and get involved in the Niantic after Pokemon Go. And it's like, well, if anyone could do it, Harry Potter can, and Harry Potter couldn't. And it's, as you say, been beaten by a match 3 puzzler in the space of a few months. Which just shows you why people fall back on these incredibly tried and tested formulas and genres. Like, I can't think the number of times in the years I've been involved with the games industry, how many times I've said the words match 3 puzzler. You know, connected to mobile. It's just
been done to death a million times, and yeah, it still keeps coming.
And you think, are we still doing this? And then you look at the figures and how successful the games are, and what money they make. And you're like, yeah, we are still doing this because it smashes everything else. And when you take a risk on something like an AR game, it's not a guaranteed return. And in fact, the most popular one of them all is the Hogwarts Mystery, isn't it? So 300 million that's made so far. And this is the game, lest we forget, which allowed you to play it for free, build your character, go and talk to your friends, do some spells and that. And then one of your friends gets caught up in a spell where a vine, like a piece of tree branch, is creeping around their body, winding up and going to throttle them by the neck. And then at that point, it goes, oh, you've run out of energy. Do you want to let them suffocate and die? Or you could just give us 99 pence and you can give us some energy and bring
Yes, I remember talking about this. Yes, it was the Devil's Snare. I think that's what it's called.
It. Yeah. And I was like, wow. I mean, yeah, I get predatory practices and all that, but holy cow, guys. And lo, 300 million. So clearly...
Turns out people are willing to pay that 99 cents.
Yeah, they were onto something with that one. So yes, this Witcher one to me, the Monster Slayer, feels like it's going to be... I don't want to damn it before it comes out, but the AR thing just hasn't caught on beyond... what we saw with Pokemon Go, and I just feel like it's going to appear and then disappear just as quickly.
The only other one that I know has done quite well is Jurassic World Alive.
Really? Did that one do all right?
That did okay. I think it was near 100 million-ish. Like, it was doing okay, like, especially for the location-based games.
The Witcher is, I guess, it's the next really big one that's jumped on. I mean, forget Ghostbusters and all that kind of stuff. They did do a little one, but nobody cared. You can find your pre-registration link over there on Google Play if you want to get involved and give it a look in advance. And we'll see how long it lasts. Probably not that long. Out and about this week. Now, Pokemon Snap is the big release for the Switch. Neither of us has played it yet. It just came out like today is the release date, isn't it?
That's right.
And they're being stingy with review codes.
That's right, yeah. I couldn't get my hands on one. Yeah, so that's my weekend plan. I'm going to delve into it. It's apparently a good like 12 to 13 hours, which is perfect for a bank holiday weekend and one with miserable weather. I'm happy to go around taking photos of these lovely cool pictures.
I did watch a review just to see what the lay of the land was. I didn't realise it's been like how long? Like 20 years 20 or something?
Years. Yeah, N64. I've still got it. I remember playing that as a kid and like I probably go back and replay it every couple of years because it's just a lovely, wholesome comfort game.
It looks very chill. The fact they've tried to make a story within this Pokemon ecosystem. Where you get to have Pokemon jumping out of the bushes and singing at you and stuff. And I was like, ah, oh, I don't care about Pokemon, but this looks adorable.
I'm hoping for like a J.K. Simmons sort of character, playing like J. Jonah Jameson, going, get me photos of Pikachu, and this sort
you
of
want
thing.
You want to be stressed when you're hunting for your Snorlax. All right. Well, you play over the weekend. We'll come back and chat more about it in the not-too-distant. So, a few things on mobile have appeared. Now, what have I played? So, Summoner's War Lost Centuria. That appeared, which is off the back of the Summoner's War. I think it's an MMO, primarily. But this is done much more like a standard RPG. So it is fantasy battling. You've got your crew. You've got their crew. Cards are being drawn and energy is being powered up at the bottom of the screen a la Hearthstone. And you have to choose when to do their special attacks. You've got your rock, paper, scissors. You've got your different elements facing off against one another. It's all very standard. I've seen this 1,000 times before. The one little wrinkle that I saw was like, oh, it's slightly different, is that when your opponent is playing their special move, their special attack, and they've thrown a card down, during the wind-up process, while the little animation is happening, if you then play a special move of your own, you can counter it mid-attack, which is something a little new. I haven't seen that in these standard games, because it's usually just your turn, my turn. It's all active time battling, but still... So I find it interesting that you can kind of like wait till they launch something and go, ha, ba-bam, throw your move down on the table and effectively interrupt whatever they're doing with a counter.
Like so, Yu-Gi-Oh, you've activated my trap card.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or Street Fighter. Well, either way, you can sneak in there and do your reversal, do your Tekken reversal or something. I was like, that's nice. That's a little bit neat and new. And I've tried it out and it feels quite satisfying to pause and wait. Because with these games where you're charging energy, the impetus often is to like the moment you've got the energy for the card you need or the character you want to play, you smack it down. But there is this fun part of, and I saw this with Clash Royale as well, where you sort of let yourself sit on 10 mana at the bottom and nobody's playing anything. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? God, there's a kind of like face-off game of chicken against them. It's generally not a recommended strategy, but it does mean you can hold back here. So that's, it changes the sort of rhythm of the battle a little bit rather than just attack, 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 attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Pause for a beat. Good stuff, have a think. But everything else is pretty par for the course. It's presented fine. I won't be playing more of it. If you like the Summoner's Wars and you like the characters, because it is another collect the cards, collect the characters as they go through. It's an excuse to build out your bestiary of fan favorite heroes and beasties. So might be for you. Summoner's Wars Lost to Centuria is the name of that. Now, back to the Switch. You have had a chance to play something. It was originally on PC, but has now appeared on Switch, haven't you?
That's correct. This is Before I Forget from Threefold Games. So it's a story about a woman alone in a house, narrative exploration game dealing with dementia. And it's about her dealing with her memories and trying to remember what's happened during her life.
Hmm.
It's hugely impactful. It got nominated for a BAFTA, actually, for Games Beyond Entertainment.
Oh, right.
It's a very refreshing experience. I got to speak to the developers this week and did an interview with them. So Chela Ramanan and Claire Morwood,
mm-hmm.
who were both lovely. And, you know, they didn't expect it to take off the way it has, because there has been a lot of buzz around this game when it came to PC and then making it switch to Switch and Xbox as well. It is there. The character's Sunita from an Indian background. It is a walking simulator, but it's just how they portray the character with dementia and how you get to see it through their eyes. Like, you'll be walking around and then the next thing you know, you're in a closet and you're like, huh, why am I in a closet? And then you walk around there and then you're back in the closet again. And it's just seeing that how somebody with dementia, they wouldn't know how they got there. It's just it's a very, very smart way to handle this sort of delicate topic. I think it really should be applauded. It's on Switch now. It's only £6.99. It's not a long game at all. It's about an hour, but I think it's one of the best hours you can spend with the game in recent times.
This is one of those ones where non-linear storytelling comes into its own and interactive narrative stuff. There was I forget which one of the walking simulators it was. It was called, it was the name of a place like Vermont or something like that. I forget now, but it did a lot of stuff where the action as you're walking down a corridor would just cut to another location mid-step. And it's very disorienting. And the idea is to sort of say that like, oh, time has passed. And we're used to seeing a cut in a movie like that. But when you're actually playing it and suddenly the corridor around you just changes to a forest without explanation and it's a day later, you're like, where? What? And you're seeing it from a first-person perspective. So your brain processes that slightly differently than being a third-party observer, which in a movie or something, a camera is often a third person, a god, watching other characters play out. And it seems like this seems like a powerful vehicle for that kind of thing.
It is. I mean, video games are perfect for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you get such a different perspective playing it as a game as opposed to watching something in a film.
Yeah, puts you behind people's eyes, which is really interesting. So that's brand new on to Switch then. But it's been out on PC a few months ago, I think.
I think it was middle of last year. It was out on PC, Steam and Mac and everything. And then yesterday, so April 29th, it launched on Nintendo Switch.
Nice. Okay, that's out right now before I forget. Back to mobile, I played a little bit of... So Pew Pew Live is a game that appeared. There are a couple of other versions of this game in the Pew Pew series. That's all one word, Pew Pew. And what we're talking here is GeoWars, kind of. So it's one of those line, you know, vector twin stick shooters where you blast aliens. I don't know if you remember Geometry Wars.
I do. Yes. That was from Bizarre Creations.
Oh, glorious. Absolutely glorious. Yes. Started life as an arcade game inside their racer, inside Project Gotham, I think was their racer, wasn't it?
Yes, that's the one.
And it was an arcade cabinet in there and you could play GeoWars. Pew, pew, pew. And it was just one of the best multiplayer games on the 360s. GeoWars 2 was incredible. I loved it. And it's one of those. So it's throwing a lot more at you. Rather than it just being a series of levels and it putting the emphasis on shooting the crap out of everything, this one is much more of a mixture of shooting and dodging. There was dodging in GeoWars. But this one does it, I guess, more like objective-focused, where you have to run around collecting lots of different objects that are appearing while avoiding asteroids, for example. Then there are other levels where it's full on just like shoot the crap out of everything. And then, because there is a player-generated level aspect to the game, you can make them yourself and go and play other people's. And I think there's a multiplayer aspect as well. I just did the single-player one. It's a perfectly nice emulation of that style. It's free to download. There was a developer a way back. I need to find the old reviews that we did. He was like focused explicitly in doing these kind of neon-soaked vector games, which are fantastic. And I wouldn't put this up there with them, but it's perfectly playable. And I was going to have a look at the other two games that are in the series as well.
Nice.
Just to see, because it gave me warm memories. So Pew Pew Live's the name of that one. We've also got a couple that... Well, there's one here that I haven't played, which is a premium one. So Under Depths of Fear. This is a horror business that's available in the App Store. So I think £5.99, something like that. Came out on PC last year. And the idea is, this is putting you, as Ollie Smith writes on BotGamer, inside the mind of a traumatized World War I veteran struggling to survive aboard an eerie turn-of-the-century ocean liner that's slowly sinking.
That sounds very stressful. Yes.
That sounds like fun. So first-person exploratory, wander around, deal with the inside of this ship. Actually looks sort of quite smart. Lots of muted color tones. Looks like they've played Resident Evil 7. And spooky corridors and darkly lit things and candlelight. And oh no, there are nasty things on the ship. Beasties abound. But I haven't played it. $5.99 is that one. Apparently it's done quite well on TikTok.
So, of course, yes.
Because it's got some, like, the stuff of the ship sinking and lots of water effects and all that business. A couple of people have been playing it. I think a couple of the big YouTubers have been giving it a look as well. Right. So it's got a little bit of notice. So this is currently available on the App Store only at the minute.
I should give more horrors a go, really, on mobile. Like, I'm not a big horror guy. I mean, I appreciate the medium. I'm just big old scaredy cat. So, on mobile, it's not as bad, I feel, because you can pull away from it a lot easier, I feel like, than headphones on and completely immersed.
I always felt like that as well. And then there are a few that have got me. There is something... The size of the screen and often the fact that you're like not playing with headphones in is a way to sort of distance yourself. It puts like a little safety buffer between you, as opposed to it being on a massive screen filling the room with noise. But if you do the thing that they recommend, i.e. you know, this game is best played with headphones on, if you actually do listen to that and put them in, and often if you're kind of like curled up on a sofa or something like that and the light's low, there's something quite oddly intimate about it. And the fact that it is right next to your face. It's funny how everything else sort of fades into the background. And in the end, it's just another screen showing you the image.
Yeah, I also think I'm sort of maybe robbing myself of the experience and what obviously it's designed to do if I'm playing it in broad daylight. Do you know what I mean? I need to play it properly and be a damn man about it.
I'm trying to think of a good like starter game for you with horror that's not too hardcore.
But I play like Resident Evils and stuff like that. I can get on with them. They're not too bad.
Not really horror though.
Yeah.
And I think even, and I don't say that as a bad thing, I really enjoyed playing Resi 2 remake, and I've enjoyed Resi 7. Resi 7's a bit more full on, I suppose, but yeah.
I played Hellblade as well. Hellblade's quite scary.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's quite a good entry, I suppose, because it's not really scary, but it's got some atmospherics.
That I played it with headphones as well, and that's all mental health about that. And obviously the surround sound with that, yeah.
That's pretty terrible. The binaural 3D.
There we go.
But comedy, I suppose, is quite subjective as to what do you find scary versus... Like, some people claim that Resident Evil 2 is horror. It's like, it's not. It's action. It's like violent gore action. It's never really like... I've never been scared by Resident Evil. Apart from, like I say, 7 leaned into the horror a bit more.
I was going to say, that was pretty terrifying.
It was a bit more jump scary and stuff like that. But when it comes to like thick dread, that kind of business, they're sort of few and far between. I really like, I mean, obviously beyond Silent Hill being the king of that. There's a game called Devotion, which was done by that Red Candle Studios. The one that got banned, or the one that got pulled in China because it... accidentally or deliberately included some Winnie the Pooh reference, and that meant the game got taken away. I got that because I'd been waiting for it to come out, and I liked their previous game, The Tension, a lot. And that was a really good example of horror, narrative horror. I would say go and play it, but I think they're releasing it on their own store. It came out for a day and then it didn't, and then there was a huge... I think it's available now at the moment. Either way, everyone go and play Devotion because it's extremely good, and it's only like 4 hours, 5 hours in proper horror. Play that, Matt, if you can find it on your nice PC. That'll scare you. But we will take a look at Depths of Fear as soon as we actually get hands on the codes. But in the meantime, if you want to find it over on iOS for $5.99, if you want to give it a go. The other thing I tried to play and couldn't was Godzilla Destruction. It was a portrait-oriented game where you're wandering around as a little Godzilla, like one-touch control in the middle of the screen, and you're just stomping. You're moving him around, and you're stomping up the city. I assume you're trying to fight other your Mothras and your Ghidorahs.
I was
going to
say King Kong.
That.
Is this Italian?
No, there's no mention of King Kong. I don't see any mention, but I don't know because I couldn't download the thing because the servers kept refusing. It got to 98% and then went no. And I had downloaded five other games like that just before it and two directly afterwards. So it was clearly Godzilla had stomped the servers and made it impossible for me to download his game. So I'm sorry, Godzilla Destruction, but you don't get a proper mention. I think that's it. That's it. That'll do for us this week. We will be back again next week. The week after is going to be Beyond Games.
Mm, all happening again. Well, not again. This is new. This is new, this one.
For the very first time. You can go and watch a little... I did a little trailer thing with a little animation. It's got a little beastie in it. And he goes, "Barrr." I provide the voice of that beastie. It's my finest voice work to date.
I was going to say, Hollywood knocking any day now.
I know, right? But the show itself is going to be great. This is our transmedia conference, basically. We've got lots of people coming in, not just from the games industry, but from television and from movies and from animation and from every other aspect of the world that now games are interacting with, which is the whole point. The kind of barriers have come down, and now you've got TV shows that let you play games and Pokemon Go that lets you wander around real life and capture beasties, and everything is mixed with everything else at the moment. And that it means when you make something, you've got to appreciate the potential. You know, are you just making this for a phone? Are you making it for the PlayStation? Are you making this to be turned into a television series on Netflix at some point? And if you are, what do you need to change about your game to make that work? And so on. So that's the kind of thing we'll be covering there. It's going to be great. Tickets are available right now if you want to go and find them over on beyondgames.live, I believe is the type. But you can find it. Just Google it. You'll find it. So we'll be involved in that. We hope to see you there. But in the meantime, we'll join you again next week for another little gaming chat. Thanks for talking to me, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.